When it comes to this tariff and trade war, of course, the United States raising tariffs on China. Then China says, we're going to raise tariffs on you. And so we've got this back and forth. Not unexpected. It's what negotiations are. But here's kind of a baseline question. Who needs who the most?
It's a great question, Tom. We can break that down into the micro and the macro. Both countries can use each other countries because of the trading partners that's so important. The bottom line is yes, we get a lot of our goods from China. One of the reasons is because of the cheap labor over there. But there are many other countries that over time can replace China. There's not one country that can replace the United States for China's exports. So that's a key point there.
It's interesting. University of Illinois, I think it was, they're going to make a new stadium. They said last year it was going to cost $14 million, and this year they say it's going to cost $21
million. Yes.
And so when they say this, and they say it's because of tariffs on steel, because we had this controversy, and I don't know that it was that controversial, when Larry Kudlow earlier on this week on Sunday is saying, look, Americans pay those tariffs, those fees that, you know, China, we put on them, American consumer ends up paying those. And I get that, too, but it's also vice versa.
Yes, it is. And Kudlow was very accurate in that. He had to counteract what was being said out of discussed out of the White House. But tariffs, they're passed on.
It's a second order of effect.
Exactly. So that's how we're all affected, especially with our farmers and many others in southern Illinois.
I got a comment that was sent to me by a farmer who I have known for a very long time. And, of course, my notes have now disappeared. So I guess I'll have to wait to be able, because I wanted to read this verbatim to you. Because this spring has been very wet, so it's getting late. They can't get the corn planted. That has a tendency to mean that people will increase their plants on soybeans. We have a soybean overflow from last year. And they'll probably put out more beans to exacerbate the situation for farmers. But farmers kind of get caught in the middle here in many respects.
Farmers always get caught in the middle, Tom, and it all boils down to supply and demand. On top of the large challenge that farmers have, and by the way, my heart goes out to farmers. Go back a couple generations in the England name, we were farmers, okay, Northeast Arkansas. So it's something that I can definitely relate to those people. And by the way, it's so sad to hear people downing this situation that, well, we just need to suck it up. Let them just shadow a farmer for 24 hours, and let's see how that tune changes, okay?
Don't we need China to buy our debt?
They are the largest buyer of our debt. But, hey, 12-something percent, all right? But here's the thing, Tom, and what could happen with this, if they quit buying and they start selling our debt, that can definitely have an effect on our bond prices, which maybe we can talk about that in a few minutes. But yes, they are our biggest customer on the debt. So that's one of those things. Remember when we were growing up and some families had a thing called allowance?
Yep.
You got it on Friday? What was your behavior on Friday? Do I need to say anything else?
No, right. Yeah, it had an impact, didn't it?
So that's one of the problems that we've had up to this point. We've never had leadership in this country that would not bow down. They bow down to the Chinese. They had their way with us. That's no more. We've got a new person in charge that the negotiation is what he eats, breathes, and drinks, okay? So as far as this type of thing goes, it's all about negotiation, what we're talking about now, and that's one of the things that's freaking people out. They've never seen a U.S. leader in the modern times this negotiated, and especially through social media, that they've ever had before. And that's another thing.
Well,
that's,
I think,
another,
Dave,
dimension.
What you're touching on is a trade imbalance that cannot go on forever. It ultimately, well, I kind of equate it with a parasite that kills its host.
Yes, it is. And by the way, if we want to throw some facts out there, deficits as far as billions of dollars, we buy a whole lot more from China than China buys from the United States. And here's just some figures. We aren't going to clatter this up with many figures. The U.S. buys more from China, $31.4 billion last year, than China buys from the U.S. They're only about $10.3 billion. So that's why we've got to make this a more level playing field. And, Tom, there's going to be a lot of pain here until that happens. And China may not be our best buying partner. Wouldn't it be something? Now, let's just put our conceptual macro caps on. Wouldn't it be something that if in 2 or 3 years the need to buy from China was gone because of not cheap labor, But because what made that difference was increased tariffs, well, that's just a tax by the government. And we walk into our stores, and now 80% of our goods are made in the United States.
Right. Isn't that ultimately the point that no one talks about in major media?
Well, that's because the major media is agenda-driven.
Right. And so you say, well, you know, if we buy that steel, well, then Granite City and call them and talk about a contract to get the steel out the door. I mean, when you look at this, I mean, you've got places that, you know, towns of Detroit was one of those. They started making flat screen TVs there. You know, this is the opportunity to move jobs, create manufacturing opportunities here. Well, we can't buy from China. That's kind of the second, well, maybe the third order of effect here.
That's what this is all about, Tom. One of the biggest things is structural change with how China does its business. In essence, also with their intellectual property theft. Let me give you, whenever we promote this on Facebook, I put a link in there where Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, I mean, just schooled Wharton professor Jeremy Siegel. Another example of an academic that doesn't get out and all they do is deal with theory. And by the way, I'm a retired professor. I've seen it, so I'm qualified to say that. And by the way, when I was a retired professor, I had a corporation doing many, many business deals. So I'm not a talk-out-of-the-book kind of guy. In fact, I didn't even use a book in my stock market classes. It was my own work.
That's because you learned through the school of hard knocks. I always loved Dave's story when you're talking about it. I lost a bunch of money, and I decided I'd never let that happen to me again. And here you are today.
Oh, I got a doctor's degree in the Black and Blue League, but let's go back to this. He used an example of a product. And it's a really neat product. Down the road, you may see a need for this, but it's a little light that goes on the inside of the toilet. Down the road, sometimes as we age, we have to get up more at night. So when we get up at night, we turn the light on, so then that wakes our wife up. That's
right.
Usually not a good combination.
Not a big fan of that.
So now if you just go in there and there's a motion detector light, then it comes on. I have those. I've given away as gifts.
Right.
But if I buy those locally, they're $6 or $7. You buy those through Wish, where they, from a Chinese knockoff, which Wish will not drop off at my house,
right?
They're $2. So that's why if there's a tariff on that that gets that price up, and we can have those made in America, that's going to open up so many jobs. But, Tom, that's I'm not going to say it's a pipe dream, because we've already brought, you know, contradictory to our previous president that says, oh, those jobs aren't coming back. Newsflash. Those jobs are coming back, and that's what this thing is designed for. There's going to be pain. There's no doubt about that. But wouldn't it be great that if we're both here 5 years from now, looking back, say, yeah, it was a tough time, but look how many products I can buy in a store that are American-made.
This is from the farmer, all right? Now get this. This price collapse coupled with the late season will reduce corn acres and most likely increase soybean acres. Soybeans have been hurt the most with trade and tariffs. Trump said yesterday that his administration is going to roll out an aid package for farmers. Most likely, the aid package will favor beans more than corn.
Yes.
Right? So just a note there for you as well. What comes next here, David?
Well, we got to get the structural change. We have to have protection of our intellectual items. If China doesn't want to do this, then we're moving on to have other companies in other countries buy our goods or make our goods. That's what all this is about, is structural change. And that's one of the things why the Chinese backed out last Friday, is because they do not want to have this structure. It's their bread and butter, man. But keep one thing in mind, cognitive bias. What is right to the United States is different to what's right for Chinese. It's a different mindset, whether or not you want to break it down to individualism or collectivism.
But, you know, this is one of the things that I think and believe about the free market, that you can have a mutually beneficial agreement.
That's what we're trying to, that's right. What I believe is some middle ground, because, Tom, one of the problems that we're in, so many of our Fortune 500 companies have moved and built plants in China because of that market.